I love these guys.
Welcome to the Secondhand Lions podcast here on Tuesday, following the difficult loss the Detroit Lions losing to the LA Rams 41-34 at SoFi Stadium in LA. By the way, Bill, my nephew was at that game way up in the fourth tier, sent me a picture. Looked like he took the picture from an airplane, but anyhow, where to start? So, Bill, we got to see, and these are Coach Campbell's words, we got to see what the top of the NFC looks like right now. And I believe it was our best loss of the season. I mean, when I look at our previous losses, every one of those was like, really? Lions played well. They were certainly areas they didn't play well. They didn't play well on defense, but they had their moments. But to me, it was their best loss of the season, if there is such a thing. And who'd have thought back at the beginning of the year, and anyone that heard our early podcasts, you know, we never would have thought the Lions would be 8-6, 1-3 in the NFC North, and fighting to get into the playoffs. But we also didn't think we'd be missing all pro level players like Brian Branch and Sam Laporta and Kirby Joseph. But we know injuries are part of it. But before I turn it over to you, Bill, I just found a stat I had shared with you before the game. And for anyone that hadn't heard this, this is remarkable. Here's what I'm going to share. They put up on the screen comparing Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford since the famous trade between the Lions and Rams in 2021. Since that and prior to yesterday's game, Sunday, prior to the Sunday's game, both quarterbacks had 49 wins. Passing yards, listen to this, Goff 261.8, Stafford 260.6, virtually the same. Pass yards per attempt, identical, 7.7. Pass touchdowns, Goff 146, Stafford 145, virtually the same. Passer rating, Goff 101.2. Stafford 99.5. That's identical after 5 years. That kind of freaked me out seeing that. And by the way, Goff had a better passer rating than Stafford this last game. But with that, go ahead. What do you want to say kicking us off?
Well, I was talking to you beforehand about the good and the bad, and I'll start with the bad. It just seems like the defense can't stop anybody lately. And I wrote down halftime adjustments. The Lions had a lead at the half. And obviously the adjustments were made by the Rams because I think the Lions got 3 yards in the third quarter, something like that.
It was five against 179 for the Rams, just for the record.
Right. So obviously the Rams are making some adjustments and the Lions didn't. Maybe the Lions didn't think they had to, but it's just pitiful to go from what they were in the first half to only 5 yards total in the third quarter. And that's where we lost the game, in the third quarter. What it reminded me of, John, was the NFC Championship game against the 49ers, when the Lions looked great in the first half. You know, I was at that point convinced, as much as a Lions fan can be convinced, that they were going to the Super Bowl, and it all fell apart. It seemed like that is what happened to them on Sunday. They came out. Well, I missed a field goal to start with, and I told you via text, I said, well, that's a bad omen. And then the Rams came down the field, and Hutch intercepted the pass, returned it as far as he could before he collapsed. And very first play, they got a touchdown to St. Brown, I think it was. And you said, well, that's a good omen. And they really controlled the first half. They outplayed them, outscored them, and they looked great. And they were a complete non-factor offensively and really defensively in the third quarter. It was like two different teams. And I don't know how that happens. But I guess you have to say kudos to the Rams for making the right adjustments and whatever the opposite of kudos are to the Lions for failing to.
And Bill, I think that's a good comparison to that loss against San Francisco 2 years ago. And I agree, the defense was the problem, and adjustments didn't seem to be made at all. So you're right about that. And I went back and rewatched again. And early in the third quarter, it wasn't that bad. In fact, Bill, we were still up. With 6:33 left in the game, in the quarter, we were still up 24-20, and the 20 was only 20 because you remember the bad snap. There were
Right.
two, there were a couple of them, but the first one where Stafford just couldn't do anything that resulted in a field goal. So that made it okay, 6:33 to go, 24-20 Lions. Okay, now this sequence, I remember texting you, or it might have been my daughter just saying, that sequence killed us. Here's what happened. There was that second bad snap to Stafford's left. He was lucky to have controlled it. And if not, that's either a turnover or a touchdown. So he did a great job controlling that, and then he was able to throw it away. So it wasn't a sack or a loss or a problem. Next play, or soon thereafter, is a phantom touchdown to Parkinson in the corner of the end zone, where the announcers and the NFL expert said he's clearly down at the 1 yard line. They had called it a touchdown, they did the review. Not only did they say he wasn't down at the one, but there was also a question, did he bobble the catch? They said, well, he lost control and regained control when it popped up in the air, inches, not feet. And they said, no, the touchdown's good. Now, as you had said to me earlier, it probably wouldn't have changed the game. They probably still would have scored, but just you never know. So anyhow, the sequence was they survive a terrible snap. They get the phantom touchdown. Then Lions get the ball and they come out and Goff throws that long one to Jamo, and his feet and the defender's feet got tangled. Maybe it could have been a foul call, but he had his hands on the ball and just couldn't maintain it. He catches that, it's a different game. But he doesn't. So now you got the snap that the Rams survived. Then you got the Parkinson TD. Then you got the Jamo not catching it. And from there, they couldn't get the first down and punted from like the 10. And that gave the Rams great field position. That sequence, all inside of 6 minutes in the end of the third quarter, was awful.
Yeah, it was. And the problem is you have to somebody has to make a play. When things like
Exactly.
that are happening, someone has to make a play to stop the bleeding. Whether it's Jameson holding on to that ball, he had both hands on it. If he holds on to it, different game. If he doesn't get tripped, it's a touchdown. I thought it should have been a penalty. I was surprised, as you were, that they didn't go back and talk about it as the analysts on the broadcast. thought for sure they would show that again and talk about the non-call, but they didn't. And there was a couple of times, I forget, it might have been part of this sequence too, where the Lions got the ball there behind and they haven't been able to run. And they ran two times right straight into the middle of the line. And now they're third and 10 or third and 11, and they didn't get the first down. It was obvious that they could pass against the Rams. I didn't understand continually going to the run when it wasn't working.
Yeah, and Bill, I made note of that. They started the fourth quarter with that timeout to avoid a delay of game. You never want to use a timeout in the second half for something like that. Then they ended up third and 11 and gave it to Gibbs, and he went nowhere. I thought that was a horrible play call. That's what you're talking about there. He lost like 2 yards.
Yeah, I don't understand third and 11. I mean, you have Jameson, you have St. Brown, you have Tesla, you have some capable receivers. Why in the world you hand off? You could use Gibbs as a receiver. Why in the world do you hand off and run into the, you don't even do an edge play or a screen play. There were so many calls that made more sense to me. Now, I'm not a NFL coach or coordinator or play caller, but that just looked just dumb to me.
Well, which game was it? Well, they came in. It was the overtime, so it would have been the Giants. And first play, they hand to Gibbs, and he runs, what, 6 to 8 yards or whatever for TD. Now, I know that was against the Giants, but I say that because I think they got visions of Gibbs breaking it and running past Sewell, who puts his arms up, touchdown's coming.
Well, that's fine on first down, but if it's third and 13,
I
that
agree
doesn't
with you.
work.
My note was bad play call. And if Gibbs would have broke it for a first down, we'd have said, wow, good play call, but he didn't. And
The only thing I can figure there is they were hoping to catch him off guard and maybe get 7 or 8 yards, and then they could go for it on fourth down.
yeah.
But instead, he lost two. But still, they scored 34 points on the road against a very good team. That should be enough to win.
It should. So let's dig into some of the issues. And obviously, what you just said speaks to the issue of defense. But before we do that, again, they played this game without a tight end. When you look at the PFF scores on offense, three of the worst five scores were tight ends. Now, back up the buggy. And I know every team can say this, but just for a moment, if they'd had Sam LaPorta, I think there's a good chance the Lions win that game, in
Or
spite of
even Brock Wright.
Brock Wright certainly would make a difference. St. Brown and J-Mo were incredible, both well over 100 yards. In fact, they were over, I'm checking here, they were at about 300 yards combined. Just incredible. Montgomery had some really nice plays. Scored off the Wildcat. And Gibbs actually had a few good runs, and he had a couple really nice ones called back. Now, I get that had there not been penalties like holding, he might not have gotten the yards, but they were good looking, classic Gibbs runs. But defensively, so I know I'm speaking or preaching to the choir here. It was very obvious. While we had two sacks and the Rams only had one, it seemed like our defensive line was taking a vacation. Lee McNeil, no tackles. His name never got mentioned that I recall. Tyleek Williams, same thing. I think he had one or two tackles. Hardly knew he was there. Davenport, It's like he wasn't playing. Muhammad, I think he had some pressures. Goff had the beautiful touch or interception first
Hutchinson.
series. What's that?
Hutchinson had
Did
that
I say
interception.
Goff?
Yes.
Folks, I know I talk slowly. My brain goes faster than my words. Anyhow, Hutch, and he did have a sack, and he had a decent rating. But my point there, our defensive line's just weak, even though you look at the roster and say that shouldn't be that weak. And then, a bigger issue was the defensive backs. And, Pakua is an absolute stud. Bill, you remember early in the year, you and I were talking about who's better, Pakua or St. Brown. And we discussed that. We both came out saying we think Pakua is a little bit better, but they're both great. And Goff,
John, I think it's Nakua.
Nacua.
Yeah.
Yeah. Puka Nacua. Puka Nacua.
Right.
Yeah.
They're
So
both great.
they're both great, and St. Brown and Goff have such a special connection, but clearly so does staff and Nacua. Anyhow, our D backs couldn't handle those two guys, especially Nacua. But what about their tight ends? Parkinson, two touchdowns. The catch he made on what I called the phantom touchdown, that was a fabulous catch. Great route. But we didn't have that on our side. So, or we might have outscored their 41 with a Sam Laporta. We might have had 42.
Well, John, our defense gave up 519 yards.
Yeah, it's about 200 too many, isn't it?
Well, you're not going to win like that. We had about a more than 100 yards less. And in some ways, it's surprising we only lost by 7. But, we scored very late. And then got the ball back with about 20 seconds to go and no timeouts. Yeah, just back up for a second, talk about that challenge that wasn't challengeable, that cost him a timeout. What was really interesting about it, though, is he was challenging the spot. They marked it on the 3, and he said they should have marked it on the 4. Well, do you waste a challenge for a yard to start with?
No.
And then the referees backed it up to the 4-yard line anyway. So they kind of admitted he was right, but it's not challengeable and it cost him a timeout. But I don't understand why you would challenge for a yard.
I don't either, and you and I both have said over and over, I love Dan Campbell. I mean, I think what he's doing and what he's done is great. One podcaster I heard talking said, is it a little too much to be doing the play calling and being sharp on those kinds of decisions?
I
But at
think
the
it is.
NFL, you need someone in his ear set saying, do not challenge.
Right. Right.
So, yeah. And I haven't heard him talk about it. Maybe he has, because he tends to take responsibility even when he shouldn't. And he should on that one for sure.
Yeah, well, the odds are they weren't going to win anyway, but one more timeout would have really helped.
Sure.
They would have got the ball back with about a minute to go if they had an extra timeout. And again, from your own 10, 15-yard line, you're probably not going to score in 55 seconds with no timeouts. But it's been done.
Yeah, I mean, you
And
never want chances taken away because of something that either a bad call or a stupid decision or a, delay a
right.
game. I mean, early in the first half, we had a delay a game that cost us a timeout to avoid the delay a game.
And I wouldn't, it's 3rd and 12 at the time. The odds are you're not going to make that anyway. So why waste a timeout?
Yeah.
Although first half timeouts aren't as important.
That is true.
So,
So, Bill, let me share with the listeners that haven't seen this a few stats. Goff was 25 of 41 for 338 yards and three touchdowns. He had a rating of 1 over 111. Stafford, 24 of 38, so very similar. 368 yards, two TDs, one pick. His rating was just under 100. Goff was sacked once, Stafford twice, but I feel like the pressures were a little bit worse against Goff than Stafford. They're both so savvy. They're both good at getting the ball out. In fact, Bill, I remember saying to you, I thought Goff would have a great game because he's returning to the team that let him go. He's a California kid going back there. I thought St. Brown would too. He's Southern California. And,
they
I mean,
both did.
what's that?
They both did.
They both had fabulous games. So that was cool. But then listen to St. Brown, 13 catches for 164 yards, 12.6 per catch, two TDs. Jamison Williams, his teammate, seven catches, 134 yards, 19.1 yards per play, and a TD. Bill, that's 20 catches for 300 yards and three TDs by those two guys, and Goff was feeding them the ball. But then you look at the other side, Puka Nacua, nine catches for 181 yards. That's 20.1 yards per. Then you got Parkinson, the tight end, five catches, 75 yards, 15 per, and two TDs. And then Devontae Adams, who will be a Hall of Famer, four catches, 71 yards, 17.8 per catch. That's before he got hurt. Just interesting stats there. A lot of offensive fireworks.
Well, it was entertaining, and it was probably more entertaining for a non-fan of either team, just watching the game as a as an NFL fan, but you're not a Lions or a Rams fan, and it was just watching the shootout.
Yeah, I agree. Very entertaining. By the way, the Rams are not flawless. I mentioned the bad snaps. There were the two that one, again, was risk of a fumble or even a Lion TD. One was a big risk of a sack. He ended up throwing that one away. But I noticed two other ones when I rewatched it that they weren't like at his chest or face or belt. They were up to the left, up to the right, where he had to kind of reach for him. So that was an issue. Puka Nacua had that early drop. So I had sent you a text. That's a good omen. That was
Yeah.
another good omen because you never see that. Then we saw Stafford miss some throws, including that wide open TD on the left sideline. He just, I think, overthrew the guy. But they had two penalties for 8 yards. But Lions only had four for 25 yards. I mean, in the NFL, four for 25, most teams would take that every game of the week.
I agree. Well, do you want to talk about Pittsburgh?
I do. Before I do that, you think people want to hear the PFF scores real quick?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Oh, by the way, before I do that, just first downs, Rams had 30, Lions 21. Third down efficiency. Rams were only 2 of 9 on third down, but 3 of 3 on fourth down. Lions were 5 of 14 on third down and 2 of 2 on fourth down. Both teams punted three times, and the only turnover was a Hutch interception. So. All right, let's do the PFF scores. Let's start with the highest graded Lions offense. Fifth best, Penei Sewell, 76.1. That's low for him, but it's a good grade. Montgomery, 78.5. I thought he played well. Jared Goff, 84.1. Then the two receivers, Williams, 89.3, and Amon-Ra, 90.1. Those are phenomenal numbers by those teammates. Lowest grades. Okay, listen to this, because these are some low grades. I'm sorry, I'm missing one on the screen here. Let me pick it up. Okay, Graham Glasgow. Graham Glasgow, 54.3, not horrible. Fursker, tight end, 49.9. Tesla, 46.1. Tristan Colon, 38.8. And Richie, the other tight end, 35.5. So again, we're missing the tight ends. The worst defense or best defensive grades, Trevor Nowoski, 64.4. Roy Lopez, 65.2. He got one of the two sacks. Jack Campbell, solid as can be, 75.6. Safety, Avante Maddox, 83.2. And he's filling in nice at safety. And Hutch, 89.7, which is pretty common for him. The lowest, and this really hurts, these are low scores. Aleem McNeil, 45.2. Rakia Sin, 44.2. Marcus Davenport, 38.7. Derek Barnes, 36.5. And DJ Reed, 29.5. He just got gouged by Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams and Parkinson. And he's a good player. I mean, he's got to step up. So anyhow, those are the grades, Bill. So any other comments you got about the Rams? And if not, go ahead and take us into this upcoming Sunday match, which looks like it's going to be televised nationally on CBS in the States against the Steelers.
Well, it will be a must-win situation for the Lions. Of course, Pittsburgh probably feels like it's must-win for them as well. But the Lions are better. They're better than Pittsburgh. They're at home. They should win. They should win handily. I hope they take it to Aaron Rodgers. The defensive line wakes up and sacks him a few times, and I know they have some offensive weapons. Their running game isn't very good, and they don't stop the run very well. Especially if JJ Watt is out. I think that the Lions are going to win. They're going to continue their streak of winning the game next game after a loss. The key is going to be winning more than one in a row. I know one is not a row, but that's all they can do lately. But they need to win out. They have to beat Pittsburgh, Minnesota, and Chicago. And if they do that, I think they're going to be in the playoffs. What position in the playoffs is yet to be seen, but it starts this weekend with Pittsburgh, and I think they'll get it done. I think they're better. I think Gibbs will bounce back. Montgomery have a good game. I don't think we're getting Joseph back this year, are we? Doesn't sound
Doesn't
like
look
it.
like it.
So, Rodgers played pretty well against Miami last night. But he's an old guy, and he's got one less day to recover. So hopefully that'll affect him. And he hadn't played great this year. He's had a couple of good games. But the Lions are better than the Dolphins. So I think they'll win. If they don't, it's curtains.
Yeah, and I wasn't able to see that game last night, just a little bit of it, but I don't think the Dolphins probably pressured Rodgers all that much. And Well, I've just talked about how the Lions' defensive line was kind of invisible. I do think they can still pressure, especially against subpar offensive lines, because the Rams had a nearly elite offensive line. So I think if you pressure Rodgers, he's not all that mobile. And if he's got to hurry throws and can't do his reads, we're in good shape. In offensive statistics, they're 27th in total yards, 28th in rushing yards, 23rd in passing yards, 20th in red zone. So not a lot going on there offensively. Defensively, they're 27th against the pass. So again, if Goff gets time, which hopefully will against the Steelers, he can pick them apart. And we don't yet know if TJ Watt's going to play. He did not play last night. Not sure if he'll be ready for Sunday. I don't know if you heard, he had a collapsed lung that was a result of an injection where the needle went too deep or whatever. But, hope he's going to be fine. But him not playing would benefit the Lions. So if he's got to sit that one out, I'm okay with that. But they got a big, strong receiver, DK Metcalf, who could be a problem for our little corners that just got chewed up by the Rams receivers. So we got to pressure Rodgers. We got to take care of Metcalf. And Bill, I think Lions get it done 35-24.
Oh, you want to score? I think it's Lions 31 to 23.
Okay, there you have it, folks. And I know you said earlier we've been winning, losing, winning, losing, winning, losing. It is definitely time to win three in a row. But this time of year, Bill, we got to win Pittsburgh. And then we step back and look at what happened in the league. We saw star players go down this last weekend. Patrick Mahomes out for the year. Devontae Adams, possibly. Micah Parsons out for the year. That's going to impact the Packers. And you just don't know if we can beat the Steelers. And you don't want injuries, but you don't know what's going to happen. So we got to take care of the Steelers. Then we got to talk about how we got to take care of the Vikings. Then we got to talk about the Bears. Hopefully at that point, we're still in the contention. And, let's get in the playoffs and then figure out how to win the first game. But it all starts Sunday, my friend.
Yeah, I was just looking at some of the Steelers stats from last night. Rodgers was sacked three times, but he still had a quarterback rating of over 120. So,
Wow.
yeah, at one point he was like 13 of 14 passing. So,
What about receiver stats? Do you have some of that?
yeah, I can find that.
While you're doing that, I'm looking to see where the Dolphins are in total defense. I've actually got that up here, and while you're looking, I'm also looking.
He spread it around pretty good. Metcalf had he only had three receptions for 55 yards. Gainwell had seven for 46. Freiermuth, their big tight end, had three for 45. Then another guy had 25, another guy had 19, another guy had 15, 12, and 7. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8 different receivers caught passes, which is pretty good. Rodgers does that a lot. He knows how to hit the guy that's open.
And
And
Bill, that's similar to what we saw last night or Sunday, I mean, with Stafford. I think he threw to at least seven different receivers and just a lot of diversity that and you mentioned earlier, the Lions, they finally got a pass to Khalif Raymond, because I know I was texting you, they need to get Raymond or Tesla some throws, and I don't think Tesla had one, he might have had one target. And I think Raymond only had one, which was about a 20-yard gain. But yeah, Rodgers is going to use different people. I just looked up Miami's defense. They're like 18th in giving up yards and about the same for passing yards. So they weren't a great defense against Aaron Rodgers. But the Lions right now are 24th in passing defense, so.
It was all in the second half. It was 7-3 at the half. It was bitterly cold. And
Oh
the
yeah.
Dolphins don't.
I heard the stat where Rodgers, how many he's won in cold weather games in his career versus Miami's quarterback. It was ridiculous. I think
Tua is 0 and
Rodgers was
6.
five. And Rodgers was like 70.
Right. Yeah. Rogers says he doesn't like cold weather, but he sure plays well in it.
Yep.
Well, he
Well,
just played well his whole life. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback, so.
now one thing he's going to remember the last time he went into Ford Field against the Lions and the Lions beat him and kept them out of the playoffs. Remember that in 2022?
Right.
He may have, be holding a bit of a grudge there.
Oh, he does have grudges.
Yeah, I think he got picked two or three times. I think Hutch and Joseph, and maybe twice by Joseph. So,
Yeah.
all right.
Well,
Well, anything else?
no, I think that'll cover it. We'll hopefully be in a better mood, Lions wise, next week. To remember to check out our website. You can go to theshlpodcast.com. SHL stands for Secondhand Lions. And tell your friends and check out all of our past podcasts. We appreciate you hanging with us. And we're still hoping for the Lions to get in the playoffs and make some noise.
Absolutely. All right. Well, looking forward to Sunday. Take care. Bye-bye for now.
Bye now.